Thank the Lord tonight, the opportunity to be here again. Thankful for his faithfulness. When the sister was praying after we sang, she prayed that we would forget who was talking and just hear the voice of the Lord. And I will admit tonight that the devil's been beating me up all day long, and he likes to do that, tell us how ineffective we are, likes to point at all of our deficiencies and our weaknesses and our areas of trouble. And I'm thankful that even when the enemy comes at us like that, it just causes us to give ourselves even more to the Lord. That without him, we have nothing. Without his Spirit, we don't have any chance or opportunity to affect the lives of men and women. That the words that we speak and the message and the burden that the Lord lays on our heart, that without the Spirit of the Lord to make that alive, without him to minister it to our hearts and to speak to our hearts and to begin to bring inspiration, then we're wasting our time. I appreciated the song Brother Randall sang. I have, as everyone at home knows, I have an Eeyore personality, how I'm made. And I like that he said that you can get sweeter, not grumpier, the older you get. So he's put a challenge in front of me. And I thought about this message the Lord laid on my heart a couple of months ago and felt that he wanted me to bring it to this meeting. And as I think anyone that has ministered in the past knows, your burden and your desire is always to be in the right moment and in the right time. And I pray that we have heard the voice of the Lord tonight, that it's the right time. I have a thought tonight about bitterness and about offenses. The Lord has laid that heavy on my heart, and I felt wounded in my spirit since that time, and I feel like that has been a ministration of the Spirit to want to extend. Often we feel the places where people are. And the first special we heard tonight was about sitting at the feet of God, and that third verse says, let the healing flow, and it talks about being set free. And then the second special we heard was the saddest, happiest song I've ever heard. Talking about going to heaven, but if you just listen to the tune, it sounds really sad. But the words are inspiring. And it touched again that wounded place where we are affected by things and we can have a hope that we can still feel the heaviness of things at times, but there's still a hope of something that God has delivered to us. I pray that the Lord will speak to our hearts tonight, because it is through the offenses of our interactions with people where the enemy wants to set a trap to take our life. And it's in every season of life. When we're young, he makes every effort to cause us to be offended at our parents. Or especially at maybe older people in the church or different ones that are meaning well. And to get us to get off center and to have something that we begin to hold inside, and then we take a trajectory that while we have no intention of ending up in a certain place, it's by those offenses and those interactions that we start on a course. In the end of that course, if you look around and you open your eyes, you can see where the end of that is. But when we're young, we don't identify that. We more feel like we're being true to our own self, and that no one understands how we feel, and the things that I'm going through are unique to me. And it is true in a certain sense. But the enemy's desire is to use those things to cause us to lose sight and to begin to plant something in our heart that will grow like a root that will begin to sprout. And the fruit that comes from that will cause us, never mind our parents, it starts us on a path where we get far from God, and the choices that we make, we end up in a mess and in a place where that bitterness becomes something that's a part of our identity and our personality. And the enemy holds that tie and he binds it and he binds it, and people lose their lives, even starting at a young age. If the enemy can, he'll use those things. But it's not just when we're young. Every season. My heart hurts sometimes when I think of different ones that we've fellowshipped in the past. And you look at generations that have gone by, and the enemy has used the offenses and the hurts of one generation to affect many after that. Their children and their children's children, before long, they have no view or idea of what the truth is, or the beauty of what God has established, and things that my grandparents knew and their grandparents knew, and it's lost. And it doesn't mean that God is not able to reach out and to save from generation to generation. But the enemy will make every effort to make that as difficult as possible and to set and to bind as much as he can. There is a phrase we say as a children that says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." It's the most untrue statement you could ever say. I would prefer, now I'm 42, I would prefer you hit me with sticks and stones than you say bad things about me. Especially if they're true. Because those bruises, they heal and then they're gone. But the things we hear and the things that sometimes we're faced with, they cause wounds that go deep, they get covered up. And no one sees those places and those things. God sees it, but people don't. And even well-intentioned people don't understand a lot of times where people are. And the enemy will use every facet that he can to infect and to cause those things to create a divide and a separation. Even in a camp meeting like this, I mean, you come to Monarch, there is no safer place to be. But how isolated do you ever feel at Monarch? I feel it. I can be in a group of people, but there is something that the enemy uses to make you feel like you're alone and that everybody's looking at you cross-eyed. That their judgment on you and their thoughts about you and what they think about you are negative. And that they, if you really expose it, as if they wanted you to be destroyed. That if you really point the light at it, that's how the enemy will try to work those inroads to where we begin to isolate ourselves from the people who care about us the most. Even ministering, I've had to remind myself many times that this is the safest place to minister is among a bunch of people that love me. You can't think bad about me. You're not allowed to. The Spirit of the Lord has to work on you like he does on me. But the enemy will be there to point and to direct. And if he can cause us to begin to let something sprout there, it will begin to create separation one from another. Well, that one, he's different than me. And he doesn't think I'm at his level. Or this one over here. And he begins to make those inroads and those separations. And then even innocent things that are spoken, the enemy begins to twist. And the filter we see those things through are the hurts and the experiences that the enemy has blown up in our mind. Begin to create more and more separation, more and more divide. You see it in our social system and in our society at large. The desire often is to divide people as much as possible. But the Lord's desire is to bring us together. And it's when we begin to submit ourselves to the Lord. You can't kill what's already dead. When we submit ourselves to the Lord and we put ourselves in His hands, then it doesn't really matter what people think. Because our heart and our intent is to please and to serve the Lord. I may fail, I may mess up, and that's okay because my eyes are set. Our job is not to please each other, but to please the Lord. Hebrews in the 12th chapter in the 14th verse. And this passage is talking about false teachers and apostasies. But this portion of Scripture still speaks to the root of bitterness that springs up in the heart. The 14th verse, it says, "Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." That springing up, the root is something that feeds. It's what brings the substance to what is above the surface. And if the enemy is successful, he will plant in us those offenses, and then they will feed our reactions to everything that we face or we experience in life. Interactions that we have are fed by those roots. It says, "Thereby many be defiled." When that any root of bitterness or poison like that is allowed to exist, if you allow false teaching, for instance, it defiles many because it has such an effect. And it's the same in this sense, that when we allow those things to rest, when we allow them to live there, they will defile many, because we will see what we're looking for. If you want to see an offense, you'll find an offense. If you come to the camp of the saints to look for offense, you'll be offended when you go home. The enemy will make sure that somebody says something at some point that rubs the wrong way and feeds that root that we allowed to exist in that place. And the unfortunate part is that it doesn't stay in just there, because we take those things that we experience and we take them home with us, and we begin to influence those that are closest to us. Most often our family, our spouse, or especially our children. And they feel, they learn their experiences through us. And then they also begin to have that same root, and thereby many are, it expands and it expands again and again. There are times when there are offenses that are not just the enemy blowing. We are offended sometimes by things that are real. Things happen to us that hurt, that are not just, are not right. We have things that we go through. It's inevitable. The humanity of man is that there are going to be failures around us. It's inevitable. But it's, how do we deal with those things when they begin to touch our lives? How do we respond to that? How do we take it to the Lord in such a place that it doesn't have a lasting effect? The Lord gave me a thought a while back about some of those hurts, that they begin to create a prison. And when we're the one that's offended, I believe it's easier for the Lord to deal with us directly. When I'm the one that has experienced something, the Lord is able to minister to that in an easier way, if I can put it that way, than when that offense is passed on to someone else who didn't actually experience it. They become locked with things that cannot be unlocked. There are bars created that there is no answer to, because there can be no restitution even. Taking up their cause, taking up my parents' cause or my brother's cause. And while the Lord may have already solved for them their issue, I'm still carrying the same prison of trouble and hurt that they went through. Those hurts, they lead to death. They lead to a place where there is no life any longer. And if we allow them to fester and we allow them to live, and if we feed them, then they will grow more and more. This root of bitterness here, the term is poison. Something is poisoned. And when something is poisoned, it begins an effect that begins to kill and to destroy. And if it's allowed to exist, it spreads out and around. And it may not kill overnight. Some poisons do, some don't. But when I think of it in this context and in my spirit, I think about those hurts, they come and we deal with those things. But when we allow bitterness, the poison of bitterness, to begin to take root, then it begins to kill and it will spread and kill everything that it comes in contact with. These spreading effects, they're cyclical. They go from generation to generation. People come from a family background of a broken home. And the Lord, I can testify, because I have people close to me in my life who come from broken homes, and the Lord is able to save everyone that calls upon His name. But these things, when they begin to break, they affect and they go on from the next to the next. And you end up with the mess that society is in today. But it all starts in that first time when that place of bitterness and that place of poison begins to take root. And if you can fast forward till this brother's 90 and you go to much generations later, you see the effect of what's happened. And while God is still able to save even in every situation, the enemy will use that thing to cause one generation to the next and to the next to begin to be separated. And their concept and their idea of God becomes even harder to win. The scripture says an offended man is harder to win. His contentions are like the bars of a castle. And if the enemy can cause us to be offended by the things of God or by the people of God, then it's not just a sinner on the street that has no knowledge, but there's a greater hill to overcome. Hypocrisies, people are faced with this sometimes. And it creates such a turnoff and a separation, and the enemy begins to use that. I think sometimes you'll talk to people who have been hurt in the past, and they will say, but the church did this or the church says that. And it always hurts my heart because it's like, no, the church did not do that and the church doesn't say that. Someone did that. And I agree with that. Yes, they did, and I'm sorry for that. But it's the enemy that turns and points that at the church and at the body of Christ as a whole and causes us to look through a lens where we lose sight of the beauty of the love of God that exists one with another. Yes. The desire to lift up and to see each one of us make heaven our home. Yes. And instead we're left with this bitter aftertaste of, oh, the church is this or the church is that. When something is out of joint, when something is hurt or offended, you favor that thing. And it causes damage to the rest of your body. If you have a hip failure and you walk, you'll walk differently to protect it. And pretty soon other parts of your body will begin to be affected by that. It's not that we don't face offenses and things don't happen to us. But it's when we allow that infection of that bitterness to begin to rest in that place, we'll begin to guard in that area. And then there's a limitation. And an injury that extends beyond and beyond. And then pretty soon, there's nothing straight any longer. I thought about this and I thought about my own life. Made me want to say I'm sorry for anything that I might have ever done. I remember someone came to me some years ago and they told me they had something against me and they asked for forgiveness. The Lord had dealt with them and I had no idea that it existed. And I think that pretty much all of us could raise our hand to say that we have never intended for there to be something that would harm and to injure. And that desire on our heart is always that the good of the gospel is affected. In every message, in every testimony, the intent is that souls are saved and that there is a vision that comes, there's an idea of hope or all the different ministrations that might exist. But the enemy takes those things and he twists them. So I would just even say myself that in my life, if there had been something, I would want you to come to it. I want that restitution if it's needed. I'll humble myself. And I think I speak for all of us that we would gladly humble ourselves if somehow I've done something that's caused an offense, that the enemy is using that to clear it. And I know that sometimes when there's things in our mind, it's best to deal with that with the Lord, and you bring somebody else in, it gets messier. But if that's what it takes to take the sting and the bitterness out, then I'd want you to come to me and say, I'm having trouble with this, and we'll pray together. That the enemy not be able to use anything in those places. I thought of being a victim. We have to be careful because the enemy will cause us to live in a state where we constantly look for things that will offend us. Cause us to live in a state where we almost are predestined or predetermined to be offended or victimized by something or some effect. Living in that place is very difficult because the enemy seeks to destroy and to devour, and he will use every avenue or every entrance that we will give him to be able to enter in, to be able to create something. We open ourselves to that. I have a couple of scriptures that I want to read tonight that I pray will inspire your heart. That if you are in a place where you have carried these places of offense, these places of hurt, and I think of them in many different measures. There's some offenses that come from someone in the church, or sometimes they come from our family. Sometimes they come from our parents. Sometimes they come from our siblings or those around us. Different places, and we expect some people in the world and that aren't close to us, we don't expect them to always treat us right. There's an expectation that it's a dog-eat-dog world out there, and if I'm just in the general public, that if something happens, I expect you to take advantage of me. You drive in Southern California and you leave a gap, you can expect someone will take it. I expect it. But it's when the people are close to us that it becomes very difficult. My parents were supposed to protect me, and instead, I wasn't protected. Or this one was supposed to care for me, and instead, they didn't. And those things begin, and those hurts are real, and there's something that are not just, oh, it's just the enemy blowing something up. They're real. But tonight I want to tell you that the Lord can take the bitterness from those things. He can take the sting from where the enemy has caused our lives to be touched by the sins of men and cause our hearts to be set free. It is the intent tonight, and my burden is that the Lord would send His Spirit of inspiration, that you can leave those things in the hand of Jesus tonight. That the peace that we have when we go to bed is not dependent on the offenses that I have experienced in this world, but it's based on the grace of God and His ability to minister to my heart and to touch me where no one understands. All of those things. There's a song we sing that says, it's for those tears I cried. It's for this reason that the Savior came. It was to save us from sin, but there is a hurting world where sin had caused its effect. And when I think about the face of Jesus, when the children wanted to come up and be around Him, and the apostles, when He said, no, no, because His heart is turned towards His children. And His heart is turned towards you tonight. His desire is to protect and to be able to allow you to abide under the shadow of the Almighty, to put your trust and your faith in Him tonight. And He's able to relieve those places. It doesn't always fix people. We're not responsible for anyone else. But for our own spirit and our own soul, there is a balm tonight that the Lord is able to apply to our heart that will restore us, to set our feet straight, to set the joint back where it should be, to cause our feet to be able to walk straight. Ephesians in the 4th chapter. In the 31st verse. Says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. What a bar. What a high bar to place in the midst of a bunch of people. To be able to live in a place where there's no bitterness and no wrath and no evil speaking and no malice, that it's all love and easy. It said it all there. And then he says to forgive one another, but then comes the ringer at the end. As Jesus Christ has forgiven us. Because when we put ourselves in that place and we recognize our own need before God, we see the mercy of God on our benefit. There are a number of scriptures. I think of the one that says, let the peace of God. There is a key formula there in let. Those things you have to let the Lord take them. Brother Tony mentioned in his meeting this message this afternoon about giving it all to the Lord. You have to let Him. You have to turn loose. If you want that peace and if you want that place of healing, you have to give it to Him. And recognize that while I can cast stones, maybe justly so, that I was also in a place where stones could be cast at me. And it was by the mercy and by the love of Jesus that I have been set free. And now I, in turn, have to let that go. Have to set it free. Lord, I give it to You. You accepted me, and now I need You to take this from me now. I don't want to carry it any longer. When that name is mentioned or that person is brought up and that seed of anger and that seed of bitterness, right, the Lord can do something about that in our heart tonight. He can bring a balm. He can bring a salve to that. Where when that comes to our mind, our eyes see Jesus. He didn't set the bar that high then to just leave us in a place of hurt, of disruption. First Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. In the 15th verse, see that none render evil for evil. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. There's a key to victory in this. That in our places where we have been hurt, in our places where people have done things to us, where we have been treated unjustly, there is a power and there is a victory in our rejoicing evermore. If you feast your mind upon those things, you can dwell on them for years and years and years. But when we turn it over to the Lord and we begin to rejoice in the things that the Lord has done for us, in His mercies, in His goodness, in the blessings in our life, in the joys that He has seated, it begins to take the power from the enemy in those places where we have been wounded. Rejoice forevermore. Our eyes are set. My mind is not set on revenge and to set back and to set right and to put justice, but my mind is set to rejoice. Jesus, You took my place. You carry my burdens. My heart as I rejoice again and again, that joy. Well, again, my conscience and sometimes our emotions are down, but my spirit is rejoicing in the victory that is in Jesus tonight. Amen. rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. Our heart is turned towards Him. In those places of trial, you find that there is never really a separation. Many things can be going on, but my heart is still turned towards continually to the Lord because I need Him. And I recognize that despite how my face looks, that my heart needs that connection. And then it's difficult because He says, in everything give thanks. What? Don't you know what they did? But it's in that thanksgiving, there is a submission to the Lord. They sang the song, nothing can touch me that doesn't pass through His hand. The loving Savior understands and recognizes. He says, we have a high priest that is touched with the infirmities of His people. So I can come to Him and I can bring those things, and I'm not ashamed to tell Him what I've been affected by. It's not a shame to be affected by the things. It's normal. You're human. But it's when we carry those things and we don't give them to the Lord and we don't come to this place where we say, Lord, this is Yours, that the enemy will begin to build those walls and those places of separation that will last forever. It will eventually take our life. I remember when we were going through a very difficult time. I was a teenager and we were having some tough things in our life. And I remember one of our anthems during that time was a song, Does Jesus Care? We sing the song also that says, just to know that He knows. That there is a place of refuge. There is a place where the Lord ministers to us, that we understand His care and His affection is turned towards me. We're not a big feelings people in our family. You just need to get over it. Life's not fair. But some things in life go deeper than just life's not fair. And we need a Savior that we understand, that cares and loves, and we need to feel that. That, Lord, You recognize where I'm at. And that I can't carry this on my own, that it will eat me up from the inside out. It will claw and it will rip and it will tear. And it will be very difficult for there to be any growth or any good until we turn that thing over to the Lord. And to know that He cares and that He loves us brings a consolation. Luke, and in the fourth chapter, you all know what the year of Jubilee is, right? Returning everything back, erasing all the debts, restoring again. Luke, and in the fourth chapter and in the 18th verse, it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, and He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. This is the message tonight, is that the Lord has desired that the love that moved Him, where we read where it says, for God so loved the world. His heart being moved, the intercessor needing to be made. That no longer would it just be blood sacrifices, but the Lord could come down and carry the deepest woes of our heart on His back and give us peace. To set us free. Liberty. Freedom. That song, I love that. Third verse, I never heard it like that. Never connected those two things. The first stanza, let his healing flow. And the second stanza says, to be free. To set me free. No longer bound. No longer a captive. Matthew in the 11th chapter, Jesus' plea. The 28th verse says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, carrying the offenses and the hurts and the things that we experience in this life. Do you know the world has crutches for those things? They have remedies for people to turn to. They have things that they try the best they can to hide and to cover over and to help people to get from just one day to the next. Just got to make it to tomorrow. And if we don't give those things to the Lord, at some point, we will begin to look for something else to allow us to sleep at night, to allow us to look ourselves in the mirror, to allow us to take another step on another day. And as we've talked about before, those things always bring a penalty. Whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whatever, if it's the entertainment of whatever you use to take your mind off that replaces the love of Jesus and that submission and that turning to Him comes with a penalty. It will affect your life. It will destroy you. But the Lord is saying, come unto me, and if you give me your cares, you're heavy, you're tired, you're bearing it, if you'll give it to me, I will give you rest, a peace that passeth understanding. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. You can be like this 90-year-old man that's happy as a bird after all of life has happened. Everything that could happen has happened. I don't know him at all. All I know is he lost people that loved him and he saw warfare and a lot of things. But to be free and happy as a bird only comes through one way. To take the burdens and the things that tear us down and we bring them to the Lord. Lord, take it. I can't carry it any longer. You know the Lord wants to help you forgive tonight. He wants to help you to be able to turn loose. And in that forgiveness, there comes a peace and a balm that you can't see from the other side. But when you take that and you give it to the Lord and you let go, and that we sing the song, there's power in the blood. It takes a power that's greater than us tonight to be able to do that and to accomplish that work. We're not just talking about saying some magic words and that there's some formula that, no, this is by the power of the blood that you come and you give it and the Lord brings true forgiveness in the heart where I can let go. And then when I come up from that place, God has that. I've laid my burden at the cross. Lay your burden down tonight. Give it to the Lord. Don't allow the generations beyond you to be affected by the things that you've experienced in life. Don't allow the hurts of people, whether good intention or not, that have come and sought and have hit home. Give it to the Lord tonight. He's saying, come, I'll carry that for you. And I'll set your feet on a new path. I'll put a song in your mouth. And you'll be able to leave here with the rejoicing. Doesn't untie all the knots. Doesn't fix all the situations. But you and your spirit can be set free tonight. And live in a clear place day in and day out. His grace is sufficient. You pray for me. Please come and pray and give your burden to the Lord.